Today's guest is a seasoned pastor who has been very successful in using digital tools to reach and connect people to his church. He's got some excellent ideas that any church could benefit from, so stay tuned to this episode of the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacy and Phil Thompson.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast. My name is Phil Thompson.
And I'm Steve Lacy.
Steve, we have a guest today, but before we get to our guest, how are you doing?
I'm doing just great. You're always good at making us laugh right before with the same line.
Yeah, the same line. For people that don't know, the joke that's been going on for a decade is, how's my hair, right before we start? And so, how's my hair? All right. So, this is episode number 469. And before we get into our guest today, which we're excited about, we love this guy, we got a webinar coming up, right, Steve?
We do, next week. And we partnered with Epiphan. There's a lot of churches out there using the Epiphan equipment, and they are doing a webinar on a volunteer-friendly streaming system. So it's a challenge that all the churches have is, you know, I need a doctor of technology to drive my equipment. And if that guy is around, then everything falls apart. So yeah, this is teaching us, he's going to show us how push-button easy things can be.
Yeah, and so this webinar, I mean, if hopefully you'll hear about this before April 22nd, but it's April 22nd, 12 noon Eastern time. It's free, and you can sign up at webinar.streamingchurch.tv. And, if you hear this podcast later, you can still see our past webinars. It'll be one of them. We're recording it. And people can see our past webinars by going to streamingchurch.tv/webinar.
To see the past ones, yes.
Okay, good. Just want to make sure. But the sign up for one coming up, webinar.streamingchurch.tv. You are giving away something. We're giving away something like worth over $450. It's actually, Epivan's giving it away. It's a video capture device. And so if you already have one of those, you could still win it and, you know, put it on eBay or something. I don't know. Or give it away. So again, what Steve was saying, how to build a volunteer friendly live streaming setup. That's the name of the webinar. And, in case, you want a longer title, it's Simplify Your Church's Live Streaming Workflow. Okay. We just go as long as we can. All right. And George Birchall is going to be the guy there, and he's a lot of fun. He's a good guy. All right. You can always check out our webinars and all that stuff. So without further ado, today's guest is a seasoned pastor, digital ministry strategist, which I think we're going to talk a little bit about that part. He's an international speaker. He's got over two decades of experience in church leadership and innovation. We're all about innovation. He currently serves as the lead pastor at a church in Houston, Texas, and also leads an international nonprofit organization dedicated to building and supporting local churches in South Africa. You'll figure out why that is when you hear him in a moment. He loves guiding churches on strategic planning and leveraging digital communication and social media to spread the gospel. Everybody, please welcome Dr. Craig Smee to the Church Solutions Podcast. Craig, how are you?
It's good. It's good to see you guys again. It's been a while. Good to
it's
be
been
here.
A minute.
Thanks for the invite, it's, guys.
Yeah,
appreciate
it's
you.
Been a minute. You have quite an extensive bio. I obviously edited it down. Otherwise, we'd be done with the podcast by the time I got done with your bio. But you do have a ton of experience, and you're definitely doing some great stuff out there over the years. And so we've had you on here before. It's been years. We even did a webinar with you years ago. And so we're glad to have you back, and I'm excited to hear what you have to say. So I'm going to let Steve Lacy tee things up here a little bit.
Let's start this off with, we have a South African living in the heart of Texas, and people figured that out really quick. I remember I went to the University of Texas, and I grew up in South Texas, so got a long Texas history, and I remember meeting a girl, and there was in our dorm that was from Colorado. And I gave her the hardest time because she talked funny, you know, And she, all she would do is she'd call us you guys instead of y'all. Have you made the transition to y'all there in Houston, Texas?
I think, Steve, I got to hold on to the things that make people listen to me when I preach. So I try and hold on to as much of my accent as I possibly can. When I speak to the family back home, they go, "You sound so American." And then I speak to people over here and they can't even understand when I'm asking for a glass of water.
That's funny. So, yeah, my wife's from Kentucky, and whenever she gets talking to her family in Kentucky, I always know it later because her Kentucky accent comes back.
But I try and check in with my father-in-law and family back home at least once a week just to make sure I'm still speaking the language. Right. You know, it's good. It's good.
And our relationship started. You were living in California.
That's right.
Many years ago, and then you moved back home to South Africa, if I remember correctly.
I took off for visa process, but we never really moved back. We stuck it out here for a while. Yeah, we had to go back a couple of times because of our visa process and that kind of stuff.
And so your background, you had worked in, let's just call it, industry outside of the church for a while and developed some skills in that arena that had to do with digital marketing. So this is probably in post 2006 when Facebook was getting big. So, and you developed some skills and did, from what I understood, a really good job for several different industry. Was it mainly banking?
Banking and communications. Yeah.
And communications. So yeah, you kind of employed some social media and some digital marketing tools that honed them there. And then as you moved into ministry, you were able to take those same skills and apply them to the church, right?
Yeah, I think I always kind of had a different understanding of I can't handle digital marketing being forced at people. I like to kind of work on, well, how am I communicating on whatever platform people are communicating with me on? I always say, don't post unless you're ready to respond. You know, what's the point of posting about your organization, about yourself, about your ministry, whatever, unless you're ready to actually have a conversation about what you've just posted? And so I think it's important that I think during COVID, digital marketing very quickly became digital communication, and not just posting my stream and hoping someone would see it, but actually having conversations about the message and praying with people about the message. And so I kind of really learned a lot from the banking industry, where you have to communicate with customers quickly because they need details, they need information. And it's not just about advertising or marketing. It's about having decent digital conversation with people. Whatever you use to start those conversations, call that digital marketing. But the real plus is being able to have digital communication. And that slowly but surely kind of evolved into a understanding of what is it like to have a conversation with people about their faith. What are we doing from a digital discipleship perspective, and how are we closing the loop with people? They're not just going to Google to find out an answer to an immediate problem, but how can I actually be in relationship with people as they walk out their walk of faith?
Yeah, I think most of us who have been involved in ministry, especially, you know, if you've gone through seminary or Bible college, you're not really trained in some of that. You're not even trained really in the business aspect of things. And yet, like it or not, you do have to understand some business principles when you're leading a church, right?
Amen. Yeah, amen. And I think that the big challenge is there's not really a seminary class you can go to, because I really believe that God uses each one of our gifts in leadership of church, no matter what level, for the group of people, for the community that you're speaking to. And every community is different, and everybody's got different gifts. And really the art of digital communication is being able to be who you are and speak to the people where they're at, and not try and be something else and come off with a persona that's not reaching the people that where you're at. I really do believe, though, as well, Phil, the concept of this process of being who you are to meet people where they're at is about engaging not just a digital world, but making sure you engage in your real world, and the two can actually collide. So somebody finds your church online, they watch your stream, and then they meet you in person, and the same kind of feeling that they have when they watch you online is the same kind of feeling they meet. You know, you don't have this massive digital footprint with all those photographs and wonderful lights and smoke and haze, and it's all AI generated stuff, and people arrive at your building and it's nothing like that. Mm-hmm. You've got to be who you are, and you've got to reach people where they're at. And so it's very difficult to teach leaders the art of communication, let alone transferring the art of communication to the art of digital communication. And I think it's kind of been my life study. I'm nowhere near there yet. It's like, you know, the painter's house is always the one that's last painted, right?
That's right. So most of the churches out there, I think, are trying to move out of where they're at now, whereas they're using social media to announce and let people know, you know, we're having a special service this Sunday, and bring your kids. And it's kind of a one-way kind of thing. How do they transition from using this thing as a platform to just blast something out to being a two-way conversation?
Right. And I think if you can rewind to digital church bulletins, normal printed church bulletins, how many of those church bulletins get read and then get left behind in the pew or get pushed into a Bible and the edge of the page goes yellow because it's never opened again, or it gets thrown in the trash on the way out, or gets left on the dash of the car until next Sunday, and nobody ever reviews that information. And so I think the same can happen with your digital platforms, no matter what you're using, in-room digital platforms and out-of-room digital platforms. If you're just using it as a mechanism to transfer your printed bulletin type announcements to another platform, you're going to get the same result as you got the digital platform. And costing for that kind of stuff now, if you want to start digital advertising to that, it's getting up near the same as if you had to print those bulletins again. So you're not really saving any cost if you're going to be just using that. But that doesn't say that you can't use announcements online. So a couple of things I tell the teams is number one, see every announcement you make online as a conversation starter. So I post my message. What were your favorite top 5 points? What was your favorite scripture? Have you read the scripture before? Always end with a dialogue starting conversation. You'll find that when you first start doing that, it's like crickets. Nobody responds. But eventually you'll have that one or two people in the congregation, one or two people in your audience that starts regularly responding. And from that, you start hearing where people are at. They start telling their stories, how your message, how your announcement affected them. So always use your announcements as a conversation starter or a definite call to action. So never post out a message that says, our Easter service this Sunday is entitled so-and-so, see you there. How can I turn that into a conversation starter? And how can I turn that into either the conversation starter or a definite call to action? Reserve your guest seats here. Mm-hmm. So there's a definite call to action, not see you Sunday. That's kind of a meh. If you can't have a definite call to action, then have a definite conversation starter. Have you got family coming in for Easter? Are you traveling for Easter? What are your Easter plans? What's on the menu for Easter lunch? Make sure you're meeting people where they're at. And I think the shift happened when we started broadcasting church services. We were trying to take our room to their room. And I think the shift happened where all of a sudden we had COVID and a whole lot of platforms which were designed to be able to have rooms in each other's rooms while we were not even there. And the church, by and large, hasn't really made the shift of, it's not about getting people to be on your platforms. It's about getting to be in people's conversation. And that takes a whole lot more than just pushing stream and having, you know, a good audio feed. That's all vital. That's like the bedrock of it all. But if you're not really trying to meet people where they're at by being yourself, you're going to just create an announcement bulletin online that's going to cost you more money than anything else.
Yeah. You, as you mentioned, eventually one guy starts getting involved. And then I don't know if you shared this video with me or not, but there's a pretty famous, I guess, video out there that talks about, it's a, like a concert scene. And one guy eventually stands up and starts to dance.
Yes.
And he starts to, yeah, you've seen that. And so, and what happens is it's just infectious. Once you get that one person, then there's two people and then there's four. And then, you know, 10 minutes later, there's hundreds of people that have all joined in. And it took that one guy to get that whole thing going. Otherwise, it would have been a really stale, boring experience, right?
Right.
So I guess there's an art to it, to get that one person to get engaged. And I guess what you're saying here is what's the best way to do that?
Consistency is, you know, if you've got a team of people, if you're doing your social media for yourself, if you're doing people volunteering to do your online streaming conversations, is just give them that rule in every single conversation. How am I starting conversation, or how am I giving somebody a definite call to action? And that's it's just a basic rule of thumb that we use around here. And we've just recently picked up this church from a leadership perspective, I love the concept of the underdog. Maybe it's because I come from South Africa, but I love this. I got a passion after COVID to say, well, how do we revitalize churches? There are way too many churches that are struggling, and just one block down the road, there's another church that's struggling, and another church, and another church. And there's churches closing their doors that have got a long history. Churches that have been open for 80, 90, 100 years are just closing down. And I'm going, there's so much rich seed that's been sown in that community by that church. What can we do to revitalize, merge dying churches together, creating? And I think, you know, when you look at this church, it was in the similar story. I think when you're broadcasting your announcements, you're telling your church's story, your organization's story, your story, if you're a single blogger or just a content creator. The art of true content creation is opening up opportunities for people to tell you their stories. You know, I've often done a study on how do you measure church health? And a lot of people can say, well, the statistics are, you know, what's the giving to attendance ratio? What's the serving to give? And there's all these kind of metrics. But a healthy spiritual church is one where there's tons of stories of transformation. Tons of stories, just people being able to vote. Well, I used to do it like this, but then Jesus stepped into my life. I used to do it like this, but then I heard this scripture. And just creating opportunity for people to tell their story. We publicize times and locations and who's speaking and artwork and what's going on, the story of what's going on behind the scenes of the preacher. And I'm going, well, what's going on behind the scenes of the people that are about to walk in that room or click on that link? What drove somebody to get up that's not going to church and find a link and click on it and actually spend more than 20 to 25 minutes with us online? And what's that person's story? What's their name? How do I get to know them? So tying in your connect card system, for example, on your church management system, and making sure there's a field for people's Insta handles, Facebook handles, so that you can start maybe copying and pasting some dialogue. If you have a dialogue around, hey, this person requested prayer on Facebook, well, you'd capture that if a prayer card came in manually. Why aren't we capturing that when it comes in digitally? Working out ways that you can get volunteers to tie the information so that we know who we're talking to when we're talking to their stories. Everybody knows my name because in my community, because I broadcast it every single time. But everybody walking in the church, who's their name? What's their story? How do we give them an opportunity to tell their story?
I think that's a great idea. Let me jump in here about capturing if they're willingly to share. Willingly. If they will share their Facebook, you know, profile in a connection card or their Instagram or I guess TikTok, I think that's a great idea if they're willing to do that, because then you can kind of reach out to them as well and follow them and bring some kind of an authentic connection to that. I like that idea a lot.
Yeah. So Craig, you had put together, this is coming from your days in industry, a system, not only just a bunch of little pieces of this, but you architected a system where you create this loop of digital ministry that you know, maybe the first time around it goes really slow, but then the next time you build a little momentum and you get this little flywheel going. Explain to our audience what that is. What are the pieces of that? How can I get, rather than do just a bunch of, you know, a few little things, how can I make sure that the thing I do over here feeds the thing over here that feeds the thing over here that gets this guy that, you know, has been coming for 6 years to, right, to feedback?
I think the concept came from customer lifecycle journeys in secular marketing. It's, you know, Mrs. Smith has product A. How do we get her to buy product B? How do we get her to buy product C? How do we get her to return and bring her kids to the bank? And they all get there and slowly but surely keep this marketing loop closed. It's really easy to communicate to somebody that you've already had a conversation with. You know, when you're communicating, I mean, you ask any salesperson, wide open cold calling for sales is the most difficult kind of sales you can do. But if you've got a lead, if you've got somebody who knows somebody, so the whole concept came from, we did this exercise back in the bank many years ago where we actually plotted different demographics of our customers. What is the general behavior? Do they move from take buying or using product A to product C, or do they generally move from product A to product B? And then we started making sure that when a 25-year-old who generally would move to product B after having product A, we would when they called into the call center, the products that were played back in their ear while they were waiting for a call center agent weren't anything other than the products that in their life cycle. And I think that whole kind of shift happened in my brain when I took Romans chapter 12 and translated it into a digital media strategy for churches. Don't just love people, genuinely love them. And there's a whole lot of really good stuff that you could translate from Romans chapter 12 into a digital strategy. It's easy to like somebody that likes your church or says hi, but to actually plot where they are in their discipleship journey and then be able to have the mechanism of helping them move through that. And so the flywheel that you represented was my first stab at saying, well, okay, so if somebody arrives at the church and or finds our church, we don't know anything about them, and they don't know anything about us. They've probably know more about us than we know about them because Google's a big front porch. And so how do I then take them from unknown to having some kind of connection, some kind of, okay, I acknowledge that you're here, I'm here, and we have some kind of connection. So in the normal church traditional environment, we'd move from unknown, they'd come into the front doors, they would maybe fill out a Connect card. How many thousands of Connect cards, billions of Connect cards have been filled out in American churches over the last two decades? And yet how many people we're actually seeing move to the next stage of that wheel, which is engage. Like, now I'm having a conversation, I'm coming back, I'm asking questions, I'm finding out. There's actual engagement, which is where your real digital communication starts, where digital advertising ends and digital communication starts, is when people actually start digitally communicating with you. And then the next step from there is people generally kind of land in and get engaged in your church. So now they're regularly coming back. They're starting to give online digitally. They're signing up to serve. They really are investing. From engagement, they become invested in the church. Now that's not just giving. It's an initial, I'm coming at that when they start calling this church their church, that's an investment moment. And then from there, you walk them through, well, what is their purpose of being at this church? They've got to have a role to play. And that's where we often find churches will use people that go to the church physically to help with their online platform, is because we don't really see people that have just joined us online as church members, because we actually haven't made the transition in our head yet that if I can't shake this person, they can give me a piece of paper that's a Connect card that they call this church their own. And I think that shift happened really for a lot of people over COVID when, yes, we were broadcasting to our immediate communities, but people from all other countries were finding churches in other countries and enjoying. And where are all those people now in your church streaming? Have you just stopped looking after them? I set up key volunteers at the previous church that we were at, key volunteers to run the online platform. And I never met them personally. They're in other countries. So how do I actually see my digital people, the people that are coming to my church regularly on digital platforms? Do I really see them as members of the church? And how do I engage with them? How do I set up the concept of meeting them? I got a little simple thing I do. I use a tool that opens up my calendar to people so that they can book time with me in a Zoom call. So people will catch me in the church after service, and I can chat to them one on one. But people who've joined us online, they want to speak to their pastor too, so they can book a time in their time zone, and there's a Zoom call, and I'm one on one with them, and that's broadcast on all of our digital stuff everywhere. And people in the congregation now start using it because they can't get in during the day, so they'll meet me at lunchtime in their car during work, whatever. And so that engagement now becomes helping people find their purpose and finding a spot in the church to serve, no matter where they are. If we're genuinely meeting people where they're at, we're also getting them to serve and be part of the church where they're at. And then finally, that purpose, when they start finding purpose in the church, start serving not only their church but their communities, they start creating an invite culture. And that invite culture brings a whole lot of new people in that are unknown to the church, and they start the journey. The incredible thing about this is that when somebody brings somebody else to church and they've already gone through this process, they walk that person through the process again, and they get excited for their church all over again. And it starts this closed loop where people are just inviting and creating this momentum themselves because they were felt apart. But if you're not meeting people on every one of those steps and helping them take the next step digitally or in person, then they're not, that momentum is going to bottom out. Most Christians in America would probably class themselves as engaged with their local church, let alone invested. That's why we've got such a drop off between I go to church and I give at my church. And then that's the invested point. And then from invested to actually walking out my personal ministry call, and my church enables me to walk out my own personal ministry call, that's just like few and far between. That's for the holy huddle. And really, that is our job. We should be equipping the saints to go and do the work of the Lord. And that can be done digitally. It can be done physically. But if you haven't kind of got that mechanism working in your physical church right now, don't be what you're not online. Get it working properly in your own physical church where you've got that flow working, and then it's easy to translate it up.
Yeah, I love the digital idea. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I love the digital idea of you know, people being able to reach you, not just in going to the facility, but online with Zoom or something like that. That's a great idea.
Along the same line, I just heard this week that I guess it's more common than I anticipated, but there's pastors that say, hey, you know, we just did Sunday morning. I'm going to stick around. And you got questions, hard questions, tough questions, life questions, whatever. Come up and we'll ask me those questions and we'll start talking, which is just a way to allow people to get connected to the church. And I was like, why don't all the pastors do that? They're kind of shake hands as you leave, kind of a deal.
Right.
But being just saying, hey, and they say that, you know, Sunday's my work day. I'm going to be here for 30 minutes or 4 hours, you know? So if you want to, you know, get in line or come up front and ask questions, that's a great idea.
We got this. I'm busy developing a similar system for our Wednesday night services. Cause we do a first Wednesday service, which is baptisms and worship, and it's broadcast. And then every other Wednesday, we do this thing called a chat room. And it literally is online. And it's you know, there's 70, 80 people sitting in front of me, and we pick a topic. There's a 5-10 minute talk on it, and then I've got my iPad up with me, so people online can ask me questions. People in the room is a microphone roaming around, so people can online can hear the in the room questions, and so we set it up that it's just that, it's just Q&A. I'm on a stool, I got a single camera, and I take questions from online. Live and I answer them And I've got somebody that's helping me type out my answer as well. So if they missed the answer or they missed a scripture reference while I'm answering, it's being pushed back to the person in the chat room. But that whole concept of, and I think a lot of pastors in medium to larger churches, they get overwhelmed by that after church on a Sunday. They just like want to step off the back of the church and they want to go to another room because it's overwhelming. Well, translate that to digital and you can control it. You put yourself out there on Zoom, you put yourself out there on digital platforms, and even members in your physical congregation can have greater access to you during the week, and you're not overwhelmed by everyone rushing at you. You can accept or decline or shift the appointment around your calendar to be able to suit you. My calendar fills up with people, and I'm loving it because I'm not saying I really need to meet you, Phil. I really need to meet you, Phil. You know, the way you spoke to your wife in the parking lot needs correction. You need to come in and have some marital counseling. No, people are meeting me where they're at. And I can put a little field on there that's private. Hey, what's our meeting about? Well, I'm struggling with this. I need that help. I've got this question. And so I can prepare for those conversations and then be ready for them. And it really does help me meet people where they're at because I'm providing a platform, or people can provide a platform where you can hear where they're at before you have an answer to an agenda you don't know what's out there.
Yeah, this is good. We're out of time.
Wow.
But it is good. It's excellent. It's some great ideas that I'm hoping pastors and people in leadership are listening and that can spark some things. It doesn't have to be the same exact thing, but it can spark something to help better connect people. I think this is excellent. Craig, and this is Dr. Craig Smee that we're speaking with. Craig, how can people get a hold of you?
Well, I mean, I've got a little burgeoning website that's been burgeoning for the last 20 years. You know, you always kind of try and launch your own kind of ministry and connection, but then you get tied up in a church, and that kind of has to be sidelined for a while. So it's kind of like being a sideline project for the last 20 years. It's called nimble.church. It's a website. I just put out resources and stuff out there, nimble.church. And you can email me directly at craig@nimble.church. So that's
Nimble.
N-I-M-B-L-E, for those of you who are struggling with my South African. I come from the deep south, so my accent is like really deep south.
Deep South.
I love it.
Not deep South Texas, Deep South Africa.
Deep South.
Now you're Deep South Texas. All right. Well, I'm sorry we're out of time, but I know Steve's like, I want to ask more questions, but we'll have you on again. We won't do it 6 or 7 years later. We'll do it sooner.
That'll be awesome. Thank you guys for having me. It's been a blast.
Craig, it's always a pleasure to speak with you, and we're so glad that you're our friends. And again, folks, if you need to get a hold of Craig and you missed all that, you can either run the tape back or just reach out to us at streamingchurch.tv. Be sure and subscribe to the Church Solutions podcast, and give us a rating if you can, and you'll never miss a podcast. And again, we're so glad to have Dr. Craig Smee with us, as well as Steve Lacy here. I'm Phil Thompson, and of course, you listening or watching, whatever platform it might be on, please take care of yourself and each other, and we'll catch you again on another episode of the Church Solutions Podcast.